In the last interview of this edition of Advances in Eye Care, we're going to speak to Dr. Keir Patel about intense pulse light treatment, IPL, and how this can be used to help treat dry eye disease.
Hi, my name is Dr. Keir Patel, and I'm an optometrist and director at Tomkins Knight & Son Optometrists in Northampton, Technology Practice of the Year 2018. Graduate of City University and the New England College of Optometrists. Today I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of intense pulse light treatment for the management of patients with dry eye disease, how it works, who to use it on, and what benefits it can have for you as a practitioner.
In recent years, increasing numbers of optometrists have established dedicated clinics for the treatment of dry eye disease. Management relies on a range of approaches to treatment. The eyelids are an essential component for maintaining a healthy tear film, and treating them is often part of a management strategy. One long-established technique involves the use of warm compression, although more recently, controlled abrasion has also been used. Here to tell us more is Dr. Patel. So thank you for joining us on Advances in Eye Care.
Thank you for having me.
Could you start by outlining the significance of the eyelids in maintaining a healthy anterior ocular surface?
So the short answer is, without your eyelids, you're not going to see. They first and foremost act as a shield. They're going to protect you from bits and pieces flying at your eyes. But probably more importantly, they ensure an environment that will keep your cornea clear. The lids are vital for providing lubrication and nutrition to the cornea, which is really important to keep it clear. Any kind of abnormalities to the lid structure or functionality can have significant effects on not only comfort, but how well you actually see.
Before the introduction of the IPL treatment, what were the various approaches used by clinicians in lid therapy?
So IPL is not really a replacement. It's not the magic pill, unfortunately. We wish it were. The treatments that preceded IPL are actually still really important after you've had IPL. Lid hygiene, extremely important. Making sure that your eyelids are nice and clean, nice and healthy. Now you can do this at home with the multiple number of products that are available over the counter. You can come into practice. There are treatments such as Blefex, which is essentially a tool that we use to brush the lids clean. Zocular, which is a product that comes from okra that melts crust and keeps your lid clean. And then you have the warm compresses. There are now so many products available that will help warm your lid margin, soften up the meibum so that it expresses clearly. If you are maintaining lid hygiene regularly, if you are doing your warm compresses and you are still struggling, and a lot of people do, at this stage, IPL is a fantastic tool to implement to try and give you further improvement in your comfort.
What is the IPL treatment and how is it used?
So essentially, IPL is a form of photobiomodulation, and it is used to basically improve the function of the meibomian glands and the oil that is expressed from it. To go a bit more into detail, the visible things that you see when you do an IPL is the reduction of the small telangiectatic blood vessels that sit along the lid margins. These blood vessels are prone to leaking inflammatory cells onto the lid margins and then into the tears, which can cause a lot of irritation. What the IPL will also do when it supplies this energy is it will flash heat the meibum within the glands so that they then express better if there is meibum in them. That was what we saw initially, and that came from dermatology, actually. IPL within dermatology has been used for a long time to treat patients who had acne rosacea. As we learn more about IPL and people do more research into it, they believe it now also has intracellular changes at gene and protein level. It is believed to increase mitochondrial function. It increases calcium channel flow, increased collagen synthesis, and helps modulate the secretion of anti-inflammatory molecules. It's a very complex mechanism, and it can be quite difficult to express to a patient how it exactly works.
As an optometrist, what key symptoms would you look for before suggesting IPL treatment?
So symptoms of dry eye disease are very variable, and patients can come in and they can report dry eye, gritty eye, red eye. Ironically, they can even come in complaining of watery eyes. So we look along the lid margins, look for the signs of these blood vessels, small telangiectatic blood vessels along the lid margin. We look for poor meibomian gland secretion. So how well is that oil secreting from the gland? So we would also want to make sure that they are doing the other treatments that are necessary to maintain function once the treatment has been completed. So for us, we wouldn't use it as a straight in treatment, but we would go when people have said they're doing warm compresses at home, they're doing lid hygiene at home, but they're still not quite at a comfort level that they are happy with.
Are there any contraindications or even dangers from using such a high light energy?
So the contraindications are pretty straightforward, and they're all really linked to UV light. So certain medications can make you more photosensitive, such as doxycycline. So if you're photosensitive, you're more prone to things like sunburn. So anything that's sunburn related tends to be a contraindication. So xeroderma, for example, is a condition where the body has reduced ability to repair DNA after it's been hit with UV light. If people have had sunburn recently within the last month or so, or if they've been on a tanning booth, people who have tattoos or permanent marks around the eye, we tend to avoid it for them. And people with birthmarks, a bit like moles. So if you've got a mole around the eye, you don't want to be hitting it with high intensity UV because you just don't want it to change. The other ones that we tend to look out for are keloid scarring. If someone's had artificial tanning on their face, or even diseases that are stimulated by light, such as lupus. We also tend to avoid it with ladies who are pregnant. And that is mainly because we don't know what it will do to their systems and how it can affect fetuses. So we do not do the treatment on people who are pregnant or think they may be pregnant.
Is there any published clinical evidence that demonstrates the effectiveness of this treatment?
So there are studies out there. There's a few. You can look them up on PubMed. I'm not even going to pretend to quote them all. But there are some good studies that show that IPL is effective. And the TFOS Juice 2 report, which was released a couple of years ago, lists it as a step 2 treatment for dry eye disease. In the US, they've been using it for years. And definitely the anecdotal stories that we hear are very positive. And personal experience has been very positive.
Is it an ongoing treatment?
So it's believed to have a cumulative effect. And depending on where you have the treatment and who does the treatment, your initial course of treatments may vary. We do 3 treatments over 6 weeks. And then we advise our patients that within about a year, they may need a top-up treatment. So we have some patients who come in at about 9 months because they feel that things have started to regress. And we have some people who come in at about 15 months and say, I think I need a top-up.
What's been your own experience of IPL? And do you think the treatment will become more widely accepted in optometric practice?
Personally, I have low-grade dry eye, and I'm a big fan. I thought it was fantastic. It helped me day-to-day comfort, and I'm hardly using any kind of lubrication drops at the moment. Looking at my patient base, we have about 80% positive response to IPL. It doesn't work for everyone, unfortunately. But for 80% of my population that we've used it, they've been extremely happy in one or two cases, to the point where it's been life-changing. And they hadn't realized how much they were suffering until they'd had the treatment. Will it be more widely accepted? It should be. If you want to be considered a provider of dry eye services, if you want to be at that elite level of dry eye disease management and treatment, optometry is the perfect place to take it up, because at present it's not available on the NHS.
What does the IPL treatment mean for optometrists?
So, as well as differentiating you from your colleagues, from your peers, giving you the ability to offer something that the majority of the profession will not offer, it is great as a business builder. Okay, people are coming to you because you offer something that's not readily available. This will help improve your business and help increase your returns if you market it correctly and have correct fee structure for it.
Well, finally, can you summarise how important these developments really are?
Dry eye disease can be very underestimated within the general population. And for some people, it can be really debilitating. The advent of IPL and the ease of access and treatment can be life-changing for some people.
Thank you again, Dr. Patil, for sharing your knowledge with us. We look forward to seeing how treatment for dry eye disease changes over the next few years. And that brings this edition of Advances in Eye Care to a close. As always, we value your input, so please send us your feedback on what you've heard today and any suggestions you might have for future content. You can contact us by email, inquiries@docket.info, or tweet us at docketinfo. If you'd like to gain a non-interactive CET point or find out more about what we've discussed, remember, you can find the CET exercise, references, and further reading for all topics by visiting docket.info. And if you've enjoyed listening to our experts, you can share this content via Twitter or other social media. The importance of keeping up to date with these advances in eye care is not to be underestimated.
Advances in technology has meant that as a profession, we need to keep learning. But once you get out of school, it's hard to sit down to do it. Things like podcasts, social media learning are the way forward. I'm a great believer in learning in small segments, and to be able to sit there in your car, on the train, taking information about what's new in the profession, keeping on top of techniques that you might not even want to take on, but have the knowledge of so that you can educate your patients, is an asset to everyone.
We'll be back soon with the next edition of Advances in Eye Care, when you can find out how wearable tech is changing the lives of the visually impaired.
Orcam and Oxite are both wearable devices which help people with vision impairment, and they really extend the number of tasks that people with low vision can do independently. They work in slightly different ways. Orcam works in an audio way, so it will use an earpiece to read things to people, whereas Oxite and similar devices use vision in that they create an enhanced, enlarged, brighter view of the world.
That's all from me, Jeff Watts. Thanks for listening.